Right now, I'm very happy to welcome to our program Bryce Green. Bryce is a writer based in Indiana who writes regularly for FAIR, the group Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, the Media Watch Group. Bryce has joined us this evening to talk about an investigation conducted by Pulitzer Prize-winning investigative reporter Seymour Hersh, formerly of the New York Times, whose piece is titled How America Took Out the Nord Stream Pipeline, that found Washington was responsible for the destruction of the Russian natural gas pipeline that runs underneath the Baltic Sea from Russia to Germany this past September. Bryce had previously written about the pipeline in October in a piece titled U.S. Media's Intellectual No-Fly Zone on U.S. Culpability in the Nord Stream Attack. Bryce, thank you so much for making time to come on our program tonight. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on.
First of all, I wondered if you would recount for our listeners U.S. opposition to construction of the Nord Stream 2 natural gas pipeline that predated Russia's February 2022 invasion of Ukraine, and the destruction of the Nord Stream pipeline in September that brought Russian natural gas to Germany, as we said before, underneath the Baltic Sea. Can you just place in context for us what the U.S. position was early on?
Right. So the Nord Stream 2 pipeline was announced after the completion of the Nord Stream 1, and it's a pipeline that links together Russia and Germany. And when it was announced in the Obama era, the U.S. was highly opposed to this because, according to them, they believed that it would allow Russia to weaponize gas in Ukraine. In Germany. And so they opposed this. One of the real reasons that they oppose it was that, A, U.S. natural gas are a major interest in U.S. society. They're a major special interest, and their profits are of top concern to U.S. planners. Another thing is, part of the entire Western apparatus set up after World War II, the NATO apparatus, was designed to keep Russia out of Europe and to keep America in Europe and to keep Germany relatively subjugated to the United States. And the fact that Germany has a booming manufacturing sector that's based in part on cheap natural gas from Russia is something of a threat to U.S. interests. And if you read in high-level circles, they'll talk about this. They'll talk about the need to keep Europe on American gas for that reason. Separating Europe from Russia is in the U.S. strategic interest, and so they oppose the pipeline. They oppose it during the Trump years as well, while it was being constructed, while it was underway. And the Biden administration, one of the first things that they did when they came into office was to implement more sanctions and to declare extreme opposition to the existence of this pipeline. So you have three administrations opposing this pipeline, and this is before you even take into the context of the Russo-Ukrainian war. Fast forward to 2021, where the U.S. is watching a Russian military buildup and is talking about an invasion. The Biden administration, on two separate occasions, they state that if Russia invades, then they will stop the pipeline from going forward. Victoria Nuland, she said the Nord Stream pipeline will not go forward. Fast forward again to September during the war, Russia's invaded, the pipeline explodes. And this whole time, Western media, they like to omit all of the history that I just recounted. They like to say that, it was clearly Russia who blew up its own pipeline. And it was interesting how they framed this. They said that this was some sort of warning to NATO states, that this was some sort of message that Russia will always be here. But, that doesn't make much sense when you consider that Russia spent billions of dollars to complete this pipeline. But they completely ignored the fact that the U.S. has opposed it, that the U.S. Had threatened to stop it, And they ignored the fact that after the pipeline was destroyed, Anthony Blinken, their Secretary of State, he referred to it as a tremendous opportunity for American planners. And Victoria Nuland very recently echoed those same sentiments. And so if you were an investigator, you had to assign the blame without any other evidence. Looking at the circumstances, the obvious case was the United States. But our media did not go there.
And, of course, just recently, Seymour Hersh, the Pulitzer Prize-winning investigative reporter, posted his investigation where he concluded that the U.S. was responsible for the destruction of the Nord Stream pipelines in September. He claimed that Joe Biden ordered the attack. And I wondered, would you be so kind as to summarize some of the major points in this investigation that have been criticized because it relies on unnamed sources? In fact, it relies on one, what Seymour Hersh said was a highly placed unnamed source.
All right. So Hersh's article dropped just under a week after German officials were quoted in the Times of London as saying that they're open to possibilities that the West was involved in this attack. And then, so Hersh's piece drops, and he alleges that the United States had planned this attack and had begun planning it as early as August of 2021. So this is while the Russian buildup is happening, but long before the war has even started. But they announced plans because, they're opposed to the pipeline. Hersh alleges that during military exercises with the Norwegian Navy in June, the Biden administration and special operations and special soldiers they dove down to the pipeline. They placed C4 explosives and they waited. They set up a remote charge and waited for a signal from Washington to explode it. And the signal came in September 26. And so Hersh's reporting relies largely on one unnamed source. But, of course, that's bolstered by his own investigation, his own discussions with other people who know. He recently did an interview with Mark Ames where he, goes over this whole quibble about sources. But the important thing to understand about this investigation is that it comports almost completely with the circumstantial evidence, up to and including the fact that Norway had also just completed a pipeline between itself and Germany that was billed as a sort of replacement to the Nord Stream. And now, if you look at the numbers, Norway is now the largest supplier of natural gas. And then you also have the detail of the report, the details that comport with frustration with the statements I mentioned earlier, frustration within the intelligence community about how Biden and Nuland had both said that they were going to, stop the pipeline. But there are details within his story, that have been disputed by the Norwegian government. It's been outright rejected by Washington, predictably. But it's important to understand that, sources get things wrong, and they, his sources are spies and military people, and they get things wrong, and they may lie or manipulate. And what you think of this report is largely a reflection of how you view Seymour Hersh's credibility. And he's gotten a lot of things right in the past, the things have in it that Washington has denied. He's covered things like the Malay massacre, Abu Ghraib, and the CIA Operation Chaos. Like, he has pretty great credentials. And the fact that his story comports with the circumstantial evidence gives it another level of credibility. So if you accept that Washington had the means, motive, and opportunity to do this, then you understand that there is a serious problem with the way the media handled this. And a serious press would investigate Hersh's allegations and try to sift out fact from fiction and try to get to the bottom of it instead of just dismissing it and denying that it's even a credible report. calling it a blog post or calling Hirsch a discredited journalist. That's not the way a serious press ought to handle these serious accusations.
Right. You know, one thing you mentioned, I think it's worth reiterating, and that is who won and who lost from the destruction of the Nord Stream pipeline. In other words, what are the relative positions of the United States, Norway, and Russia after this pipeline was destroyed, given that much of the U.S. press basically pointed the finger at Russia, telling the world that Russia blew up its own pipeline, which on the face of it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Right. So the position of the United States, let's start with the position of Russia. Russia wanted to sell natural gas to Germany. You know, a sovereign nation wanted to make a deal with another sovereign nation about a key commodity. And they wanted to build this pipeline to strengthen the ties between those two countries. The U.S. does not want Russia to be close to Germany. They don't want Germany to be close with Russia. They want to dominate to the greatest extent possible, the European society and European markets and the European economy. That's just a matter of course in Washington planning circles. And Norway, they also have their own major natural gas industry, and they receive a boost from the destruction of the pipeline. And so you have all of these actors with all of these conflicting interests, and the U.S. press tries to say that the actor with the least interest in the destruction of the pipeline is the most responsible. Well, that's not good journalism. That's not good investigative work. That's not good logic. I think the press ought to do better than that, because this is a serious issue. Whether or not the United States was involved in espionage against an ostensible ally is a serious question. And if the U.S. press is unwilling to talk about it, well, that's a real indictment of the free press that we like to talk so much about in this country. In fact, during a State Department briefing, there was only one journalist to ask the Ned Price, the secretary or the State Department spokesperson, to comment on the Hirsch story. Why aren't more journalists asking questions about this? Why don't they care? Why are they so quick to dismiss it as a conspiracy theory? Snopes, the fact-checking website, they actually, they didn't have much to say when everyone was alleging that Russia blew up his own pipeline for some vague reason. But as soon as Hirsch's article dropped, they released it wasn't even much of a fact check so much as it said that, well, beware that Hirsch is relying on an unnamed source. Well, I'd hate for them to discover what the New York Times does with their journalism because, you know, unnamed sources are one of the bedrocks of how journalism operates. There's a lot of resistance to understanding these facts and to investigating these facts. And I think that bodes ill for our country.
Well, Bryce, we're out of time. Leave our listeners with the website where they can find your recent article, or I should say it's still timely, although it was published in October. And it's titled U.S. Media's Intellectual No-Fly Zone on U.S. Culpability in the Nord Stream Attack. Certainly relevant to, as you've discussed tonight, the U.S. media ignoring Seymour Hirsch's story that came out later. What's the website?
All right, it's at fair.org. If you just search on fair.org, you will find, you can search my name, Bryce Green, on the articles, and you can find me there. And you can find my socials. If you search Bryce Green Twitter, you can find me there.
Bryce, it's great to have you on. Thank you for being way out ahead of this story in terms of the U.S. media's kind of turning a blind eye towards some of the obvious conclusions you might make in a rational world about responsibility for the destruction of this natural gas pipeline. Appreciate you being here, Bryce, and thanks for your important work.
Thank you. It's good to know people are taking this seriously.
Thanks. Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye. That's Bryce Green, a writer who regularly writes for FAIR, the group Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. And again, the website is fair.org.